I look like an idiot. You kicking off early? I got 20 minutes. All right, let's go. Ready to go?
All right, it's 6:30. I'll call this meeting to order. First item on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance led by Councilmember Leland.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks everyone for coming out on this dreary evening, April the 1st. We have this portion of the meeting set aside for public comment. It is for public comment on all non-agenda items. So this time I'll open it up for any public comment on non-agenda items. There's nobody online. I'm seeing nobody in the crowd, so we'll move on. Next up is the approval of the March 18th, 2025 minutes. Council has in front of them those minutes. I'll open up to the public for any comment on those minutes. Seeing none, council.
Move to approve.
A motion to approve. And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
So we don't have a city court report. We'll waive that one. Bring us to departmental report. First is always with Amy.
Back in, we got another METG progress report. And then late last week, we got the estimates for next year's employee benefits. And they did go up at 12.2% for next fiscal year, which broke down to $107 per eligible employee per month. But I'll have the benefit elections at the next council meeting for you for those. And I can't believe we're already thinking about fiscal year 26. It's coming right up.
Thanks, James. Next up is the police department. Chief Sanders is with us.
Good evening, everybody. It's going to be a short one tonight. We started using our new RMS system last Tuesday. It's been a little bit of a bumpy road from dispatch to everybody else that's using it, but making progress. And with the new system, I don't know how to get in to pull up the CFSs or if even we can do that with the new system. It would only be a week's worth of stuff. So anyways, I apologize. Hopefully we can get something figured out for the next meeting or by the next meeting. So you'll have some information. But the one thing I could find is we opened up 21 new cases this last month in March. Just an update, Officer Kyle Butler's attending the crisis intervention team training this week. And for those of you who don't know what it is, it's, the training improves communication between law enforcement and those struggling with mental illness. And it helps those with mental illness find resources and whatnot. And us law enforcement individuals, we tell them about resources that are available to them. So it's a great class. Everybody that's in the department that's attended it have said it's been very positive. And then, believe it or not, Officer Zach Butler is scheduled to graduate from the Montana Law Enforcement Academy on the 18th of April at 11 a.m. at the Kalama Civic Center. So if you are free that day at that time, I'm sure he would appreciate your attendance. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Chief. Next up is Public Works Director Orr.
Man, I might be the long-winded one tonight. Happy to report, it is not snowing here. You guys have my report, so just a couple things. We have the startup on the town pumps lift station for that RV dump. Did not go with plan. They're working through some struggles there. The good thing is the flow meter and everything works. That's what we care about. Mechanically, the rest of it is not our problem to maintain or do anything with. So they're getting us a key at the later part of this week, and then we'll be able to read that flow meter when we do the other meter reads and the sewer districts we have and build them accordingly. The other thing with town pumps, it's run that wasn't in my report. If you drive down Wiley Drive, just north of Gale Street, there is a surprise approach that popped up yesterday. Don't panic, it's temporary. They are leveling out and doing some landscaping with the excess soil piles they had from the dirt work on the store.
But they didn't want to unload their equipment on Wiley, but they couldn't get the little boy through the ditch, so they dumped some rock in there. That rock, we talked to them today. It's just a couple days, and they'll put the ditch back how it was. So don't panic if you see that approach there. Other than that, Hell in a Sand started last Monday, the 24th, on Washington Street. Things are going pretty smooth there. They were supposed to start the shutdown at Main and Washington today. They've got some supply issues with valves, so that intersection will stay open until Monday. And it'll probably be a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, open up Thursday morning of next week. So traffic will be routed, kind of detoured both down Riggs and also Clark. They've notified residents. We've door hangered. I think we've done just about everything we can. But for those 3 days with the school traffic, it'll be a little bit of an inconvenience for those residents. Hindsight, I'm always easy to admit my faults. I should have made them, if I was thinking, I should have made them start flip-flop of what we did so that we did Main Street while spring break was going on. I didn't think about it, and it was too late to change it once I realized that I should have done that. So I'll get better the next time, I promise. Detours are always challenging. The other thing, I talked to Mike just now, but over the weekend we had somebody break into the bathroom at JFK Park. They're winterized, but apparently we needed to use both toilets. I'll leave that at that. And then they left their bottles of vodka behind.
Half.
Very strange. Half a bottle, yes.
They enjoyed the other half.
No damage done.
That's what it was.
We're confused that how you can be strolling through the park, need a bathroom, but you have bolt cutters with you to cut off the two locks. And at first I thought, oh, they just knew what the combo was, because everybody knows what the combos are in East Helena. But one was a combo lock and the other was a key lock. And they were both gone. Oh. So I don't know how I have no idea. But I appreciate the guys not complaining when they have not nice things to clean up. Hell in a Sand will be back the week of April 7th. So is that next week? I think it is. To start doing the prep work on paving Lewis, Dudley, and that little block of 2nd Street. The other thing I have them doing is they are getting us an estimate for Washington Street, just to do like we did on these other blocks. Instead of just doing the patch down where we're replacing the water main, to do that 1-inch leveling course and the 2-inch lift to give people get a nice street out of it. That's what the public sees. And so hopefully that should work. And then lastly, just still working with Habitat for Humanity, lots of logistical infrastructure stuff we're trying to work through and come up with a sensible plan of how they proceed for that development. But they're working good with us, and there'll be more to come on that. So, any questions?
Yeah, have you ever drank half a jug of vodka and needed to use a bathroom?
One time, Kelly. I live in East State. It's a long way.
I was wondering how creative you'd get if you need that. Does happen?
No, for the record.
All right, well. Got him out of the suspects, I guess. All right. Next up is Volunteer Fire Department. Fire Chief Campbell's here.
Calls for service. I'll show you how to do that. This is crazy. There's another way to do it, too. So we had 18 calls for service last month. We are experiencing issues with paging with the new system because of the way the system works. They changed how our active 911 works, and that's how we receive pages. It's no longer a device issue. It's now an email issue. So if we have their email in there incorrectly, they will not receive pages. We had 4 BLS yellow non-emergent calls, 11 BLS red emergent calls, 1 ALS is life safety, 1 fire is vehicle fire at the new town pump, 1 mutual aid call over to our friends in Eastgate, and then 1 fire alarm call. So it was a pretty average month for us. I would like to recognize this time that we did recognize B. McLean as our firefighter of the year for 2024. She does amazing work for us. Anything that I need or anything that I need done, or she just does stuff because. So I talked to the command staff and the members of the department, and we decided that B should be awarded that. We did give that award to her at our last business meeting. So congratulations to B. I did meet with Kevin yesterday. We had quite a little discussion about some of the subdivisions and some concerns I have with water issues We did talk about the issues with Habitat for Humanity. I did receive an email from, and I can never remember his name, but that's doing the designs and plot plats and everything like that for them. So some of the issues that we discussed don't involve me, so I'm not going to address them, but water flow overall, I do need to address for fire issues. So I will be sending him an email. He has some issues with the north end where they are building. It'll be like single family use and then townhouse use on what we would consider an alley. They're considering them carriage lane.
Carriage lane.
Carriage lanes.
Oh, fancy.
And the narrow width to allow parking on both sides. I need to still be able to get my largest fire truck down that street and then to be able to turn it around at the end and get it back out. So we'll be addressing that as well. We talked a little bit about Highland Meadows. We talked about Prickly Pear Estates, some water issues that are going to arise in the future and how we may possibly solve them. But that's like not this year or next year, maybe the year after kind of a thing. So we're just talking about them now so that we're both on the same page. I did call our building guy that does our building inspections, Colin, and we talked about a structure that's being replaced and some concerns I had about it because we've already been there for two fires. I don't have to go there for a third. He's going to go over and check on it and see what's going on in there. We do have open house, first responder, not so first, public safety open house on the 26th of April at the Fire Training Center at the airport. It's all the way at the end of Airport Road. If you're available, come out and see it. Everybody's going to be out there, fire, police, EMS. There'll be helicopters and bomb trucks and SWAT trucks and fire trucks and all kinds of interesting things out there. The last thing I have is we're going to start looking at disposing of one of our vehicles. We have that 99 Crown Victoria that we've had for quite a while. It hasn't been used in many years. It's now sitting at the wastewater plant, so we're going to start stripping it down so that we can use it to disposition. And I talked to Chief Sanders about how they're doing their stuff. He sent me their information. It looks like it's probably the best option for us. So we'll be coming to you to get information about what we need to do to get that vehicle disposed of. So any questions for me?
No question, comment. I appreciate you working with Kevin on those issues. Note to the council, all those things will go through subdivision review and FCPs, and you guys are going to see all that as well. So any things you require will be part of that process. But appreciate Roger on the front end letting them know.
Questions?
Thank you, Roger. All right.
Don't go too far.
Yeah, you might as well stay up there. First order of unfinished business, the volunteer fire department purchase of a truck. Lewis and Clark County. I'll leave it for Roger. There is a handout on the table as well.
Yes, and I have a copy.
We all got emails, I believe. You emailed
that,
right?
I emailed that. I'm sorry about the delay. I just got some of the information that I need to look for late yesterday. So, question about it? Give me a little synopsis of what's going on. Flip pages here. If I don't write it down, I forget it. Happens. So what we're looking for is something to give us rapid response. We should set a rapid response of 6 minutes or less. Every department in the valley right now has one, two, or three of these type of vehicles. I know there was some question about insurance. I did talk to Brittany at MMIA, and she's very okay with it. As long as there is some sort of a policy, I did draft a policy basically as a non-daily driver. It's for use for emergency responses, training activities, meetings, anything that's fire department related, and we will limit the use by non-members with the exception of during parades. We do allow family members to ride in our trucks during parades. So that's one thing that we're looking at. Another thing, I do have a draft policy. If anybody would like, I can email it to you or I can show it to you after the meeting. It doesn't matter. It is 2015 Dodge Ram, 1500. I did provide you with the bid number. These vehicles normally go at auction for anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000. This one is, after meeting with the vehicle committee and talking to Sergeant Kenyon and Lieutenant Hannibal and Sergeant Crum with the Sheriff's Office, of the five that were going out, this was the best option. The others were high miles at 130,000 plus, had some significant damage to them or some mechanical issues that is why they're taking them out of service. This one has no damage to it. It's never been in an accident. And it does have a brand new engine at about 31,514 miles ago. So it is in really good shape for us. They are going to leave it completely upfitted for us. I do have to work with Lieutenant Hannawalt to change some of the lights. We can't have blue lights on our truck. So we have tons of spare parts in our building out there, and he's willing to sit down with me and help me get red lights or blue lights turned to red lights so that it meets for us. The only other expense other than the purchase of the vehicle is to have it de-striped and restriped, which is $1,000, $1,500. Depends on, you know, what kind of deal I can get out of Fast Signs or Auto Trim. Normally it's about $400 to restripe the vehicle as it sits with the sheriff's logos, but that is because the logos are already made. They just have to put that and restripe them. That's kind of where we're at. Any questions for me?
The only question I have is in regards to insurance. You mentioned that the MMIA, you spoke to them, and they mentioned it would be a non-daily driver. Is it the intent to have this? Are you intending to leave this at the station?
No.
So it would be going home with somebody?
Yes. And that was the specific question I asked her.
I know that insurance may allow, but if it's a non-daily driver and it's going home with somebody, and the goal is to have it with them so they can respond quick, doesn't it become a daily driver at that point?
Not really, because they're not allowed to like drive it to work. When I say daily driver, I'm like, I can drive it to work or I can drive it to the grocery store. I know some of the other departments allow that. That is not the function for us. The function is to have a quicker response time. And if you'd like, I'll show you this. So I sat down and did some research.
But it will probably be driven every day.
Not necessarily. And if anybody else wants to,
you have these as well, don't you?
Jump through this right quick, guys. What's that? Oh,
go ahead.
So I can jump through this for you right quick. The first one says station times or miles and times. That first little number is for each member. Is how far do they live from the station, and what is their miles or their time to respond to the station? So we set with a standard 2 minutes out the door, then drive time per Google Maps to the fire station from their address using the shortest route. The next one is a standard time for everybody that is seen from the station. So, and then you add those together, you can see our response time, even just like for me to 110 Oaks, which technically is less than a mile for me, it's about 9 blocks. I can go from a 5 minute total or a 10 minute total response time to a 5 minute total response time, which saves me five minutes of time. Okay, and it works that same way. So that number out on the right-hand side is the number of minutes we save by not having to go to the station, pick up a vehicle, and get somewhere. So I asked, to keep it as random as possible, I asked Amy and Bree to give me 10 random addresses in the city. And I only replaced one with one that was in the city limits to one that's in Vigilante to an address that we have gone to a couple of times. And then I added the three schools, which are the ones on the bottom, because we do respond to these. So if you look at those times, you know, 6 minutes is if you're talking about perfect conditions, no traffic, no train for the 144 South 7th Street, which is in Moontown, everything with perfect conditions, these are the times. And if I'm dealing with a heart attack, CPR in progress, or a severe bleed, or some kind of an ALS call, that 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes could be death. You know, the difference between life and death. And that's what we're looking for, is to give the citizens the best care that we can. And we feel that using this vehicle is the best way to do that, instead of having to go all the way to the station and get a truck and drive all the way to that scene.
I'm in agreement with what you're saying there. Totally. I think this is a good thing. I fully agree. And I just, want to make sure that we're A, meeting the insurance requirements.
Right.
And then B, that was my concern about the phrase daily driver. And B, that we're like, you know, this is for official use.
Yep. Yep. And that is, so like I said, I have a draft policy if you'd like.
We can work on that later. That's not pertinent. So this
basically spells out that this is, so we want to use it to assign a duty group. So I have 6 medics on staff right now, and we've all talked about it. We've all agreed to do it so that I'm not the only one going to calls constantly. I mean, I go to probably 80% of calls. But it would be assigned to them so that it can sit in their house. I have asked that if they have the ability to please use off-street parking for it. Just that's kind of a rule that we have at the sheriff's office. We prefer to have off-street parking for our vehicles. But if they don't, then we'll deal with that. But that way, each person can go directly to, that responder can go directly to a scene, and we can start doing care fast. The only issue with the research paper that I gave you is I threw out St. Pete's ambulance. Okay. So yes, we do have an ambulance stationed in the East Valley right now, but we can't always rely on them. I have sat on scene for 20 or 25 minutes waiting for an ambulance. So that is why I'm concerned with our response times and not what they're giving us. Normally we're getting there. I'm using my own personal vehicle right now. And if I have to pay more insurance for it to do it, I'd like to not do that. Plus, I'm putting miles on my own vehicle as I'm attending all of these meetings, the chief's meeting, the EMS meeting, the Rural Fire Council meeting, the REN card meeting. You know, we're talking about West Valley, you know, some of the farther out departments. I bought my vehicle with low miles. I'm now at average miles. I do not want to get it into high miles for resale. So this vehicle would also assist with that. I think giving these people something, you know, very minimal in return for what they're giving us. They're paying to go to all their schools, their recertifications, giving them the ability to respond faster. I think that's a bonus for them as well as us and the citizens of the city of East Helena.
Is there any public comment on the request?
Comment. Just as to back up what Roger is saying here. So
yeah, state your address.
Kevin Orr, volunteer
fire. Make sure point us Navi Snell.
665 Tony Drive, East Helena, Gate, Montana. So what Roger's saying is honestly very, very standard practice, and East Helena has honestly been behind the goal on this for really the last probably 2 decades.
Troy had a car for a long time, right?
We
had a car. That's
so the idea again is that you want to get one or two members of your volunteers there as fast as you can. And if your policy is that you can't respond direct, meaning you drive your personal car there, which when if you're calling 911 in the middle of the night and somebody's Chevy Aveo pulls up outside, who is that person, right? You don't know. And it's crazy to have volunteers wanting to come help have to drive past a resident to go get a fire truck to come back. Super common practice. I can tell you for Eastgate, we have 2 command trucks that are within our district. Our policy is that guys drive them as long as they're able to respond is how our policy reads. So you're not towing your boat to the lake. You're not taking a camping. But if you're taking your family to Walmart and if you're willing to leave your cart in Walmart because you're going to respond when your pager goes off, I expect that command truck to be in the Walmart parking lot. I don't care. If it's sitting at Pizza Hut's restaurant and you're having dinner with your family, as long as you're going to leave dinner and respond, that's okay. That's what we want, right? That's what we do as volunteers. So super common practice. East Helena is probably the last department in entire Lewis and Clark County and most of the state that does not run command rigs.
Command rigs.
Yeah.
Because we had
one. That's what I know on it.
Years.
I would speak in support of it for sure.
So currently, thanks, Kevin.
Yep.
So currently we do use Kevin and his department as kind of an auto aid thing for us. Adam, his name. He responds to our calls if I tag my pager as unavailable, which usually is like I'm at work or I'm in town and I can't respond. So Kevin will automatically respond for not Kevin, Adam will automatically respond for us. He's a great asset. He's a super great guy. We would just like to be able to, in the future, if we had to, maybe return the favor. I mean, I've gone to East Valley's calls. They've come to our calls to help us. If we have CPR in progress, that's a huge thing. Takes a lot of personnel. I've gone to their calls and helped them on their CPR progress, especially during the day when people are limited to being able to respond at the time. Fortunately, Adam works out of his house, and he's there for us most of the time. And we super appreciate Adam for everything he does.
Is there any further public comment? Seeing none, Castle.
You'd mentioned before having this response truck will also save on the fire truck hoses when it's really cold.
So if it's cold out, we don't like to run our trucks out. Anything below 30 degrees is really a risk of like our hose reels or our pumps themselves freezing up. The big truck does have a pump heater, but if it gets super cold, it doesn't have enough capacity to keep the pump from freezing. We usually have to turn the truck on, let it sit, pull some levers and valves to make things kind of circulate while it's sitting there. But that's putting hours sitting on our pump. And the more hours we put on our pump, the more risk we have of it going down, or if we don't do that, then freezing our pump. And we've already had to replace our pump once. The truck's only 12 years old, and it was like $50,000 to get replaced.
With this truck, what equipment would is on it?
So basically it will be a pickup truck and it will have medical gear only. So it'll have a complete jump bag with oxygen and AED, anything that we would need for medical calls.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we had to go out on a mutual aid call, we would take like breathing, stuff like that. So we just had a huge meeting. All the chiefs in the Valley got together for a rent car meeting, and they're basically what they're saying is we want help with our fire, but we really don't need your truck because most departments have several big trucks now. And by the time you start getting, 6-8 big trucks on scene, there's no parking for anything. It's harder to get water trucks in and out. So we would take equipment off of our second engine, breathing apparatus and pipe holes and axes and whatever we need. And it would go into this truck and could respond that way. But this truck, my main concern for this is to provide emergency medical services for our people. So we're trying to keep it so that stuff can't freeze. Now, in the wintertime, they're probably going to have to pull the jump bag out, put it in their house because it does have IV solution in it, and that can't freeze. So it just makes it easier that way.
And I appreciate you working with the sheriff, too, because I think the cost, that's...
Yeah, normally these trucks, to buy one right now, if I was to go out and I've looked, they're $50,000 to $80,000. Basic, where he's telling him we can't afford that.
Mm-hmm.
Doing this at this cost, I think, is a huge benefit to us. It can last us 5, 6, 7 years, before we need to start looking to replace it. At that point, maybe we replace it in this manner again, or maybe we have enough development that we can afford to buy something newer. Hopefully that will be another chief's.
Thanks, so chief. I'll move to approve the purchase of the vehicle. I don't know if anybody else has any comments.
I have a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everybody.
All right. Next up in unfinished business, the AARP collaborative agreement to fund the Fitlock classes at Fendi Park. I'm going to turn this one over to Amy. You kind of got this one.
Yep. She got us this contract. Basically, I need your permission to tell her yes. Please give us the free money. And enter into that contract. They're offering to give us $2,500. That'll cover our coach and the few odds and ends we need for the equipment and stuff. And they will handle our registration again. So they've got all the computer things and scheduling and advertising and taken care of through AARP's website.
Any public comment on the request? Seeing none, council.
I'll move to approve.
The motion to approve free money.
Second.
And second, all those in favor.
Aye.
All right, we're on a new business, and we cleared up both unfinished business. Great day. Eight unfinished business. New business, number one, request to use Main Street Park for the East Helena Tuesday Farmers Market, July 8th through September 16th. It has Dot here. Dot is not here, but very much a common request. It'll be fourth year.
I think it's fourth year at Main Street.
Yeah, fourth year, yeah. And so you guys have seen this before. This is the same request. It's not a big effect on the city at all, and it certainly has been a value to people when they want to get tomatoes or whatever vegetables you want to buy. I don't eat vegetables, but tomatoes. There any public comment on the request to use Main Street Park?
I like the idea. It brings not only the vendors in, but it also brings people into our community to shop in our local businesses. Anytime we can promote ourselves as a city, I think that's positive.
Any further comment? Seeing none, council.
Since we don't require a business license anymore, did we require them to have insurance?
We didn't
in the past.
They're not using any of our facilities. They're parking their own. We're just putting them just on a.
But we're not issuing business licenses anymore, correct?
Well, it's a
blank. One for the event.
It's the alcohol licenses.
Okay, thank you. That's what's covered under this.
Yeah.
Okay.
She wants all the vendors covered under her license.
Right.
Okay. Under the. Yeah, I meant the business permit. We're not doing that. I thought that's what she was referring to.
This is the one. This is the one. She's doing a permit to conduct this under what's called Dots Farmers Market.
No,
that's exactly the same. Yeah.
I'll move to approve.
I have a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Next up is the. Resolution, oh no. Louisa Clark County Deputy Reserve graduation request for gym fee waiver. Chris was going to be here to talk about this one. You're here on this one?
Yeah.
I think things have changed, right? Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes.
Yes. So I'm Alex Holmes for the notes. I'm with the Louisa Clark County Deputy Reserves graduating class. We were hoping to request to use the gym and have the fee waived for June 13th. From 6 p.m. to 9 p.m.
That's still the request?
That is still the request, yes.
So nothing's changed. Okay. I got information the other day that something had changed, but
the fact that. Yes, we're still working on planning the graduation. We have a lot of chiefs, if you will. So we are still working on it, but if we can get the B wave, then this would be the spot that we would like to do it at. We can spend and focus money on other resources such as food, decoration.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on the request? Seeing none, council.
I move to approve.
I have a motion to approve.
I'll second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
All right. That brings us to draft resolution 617. In front of you have that resolution to authorize the sale of the surplus property. The resolution in front of you listing out all the surplus property. Something that gives the cap to both Chief and Kevin. They're kind of working on cleaning up some of the stuff that's been around. How old do you say some of the stuff was, Kevin?
So it's
old. There's 68 in here.
So this is the stuff, I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but this is the stuff we started working on back in 2017. So this is the list of equipment that we've just been saying, oh, we're going to do this one of these days. And back in 2017, council member Kit Johnson requested to come out and verify that this was scrap value equipment. These are the total trucks. Some of them are just cabin chassis, literally the frame of the cab and a frame chassis. There's no motor. They've gutted them parts. So this is a list of what has been deemed scrap, basically value equipment. We've also talked, so after we get rid of this stuff, then there is four or five pieces of equipment that state surplus is willing to come and look at. There's a, should have brought my notes with me, a $750 fee that they charge per piece, and then they also retain, I'm going to say 5%. I should have brought that with me.
4%.
4%. Thank you.
Yeah, you got an expert here, by the way.
Yeah.
I was like, well, you don't know. You got West.
There is some equipment that is not scrap value that I'll probably bring in. That's the old road grader, the old garbage truck, and then the, I don't know what you call it, like the, we got this weird trackless tractor with a bunch of attachments, things that they're saying is worth some money. So the stuff that is worth value, our plan is to send them.
What's a trackless tractor?
I don't know. Or, so worse matter here, Kelly. It's
that's
it's,
why I'm curious what you're saying.
Weird. I've never seen one before. I don't know what it's called, but apparently it's in high demand. So our plan is to get rid of the scrap
And then have Joe from State Surplus come out and look at the stuff and just verify that he agrees that it's worth our money. Because we have to, none of it runs, so we'll have to pay to get it shipped out there. But talking to him on the phone, he said that is probably worth our time and investment to have it shipped to them. So
send them the tracks.
Worst case, if they say that if it's not, then we'll just sell it for scrap as it is. So, but this is a list, and with your approval, we would like to get rid of it and start to clean things up out there.
Have you said any public comment on the resolution?
So is this our only option for the vehicles that are have value to go with state surplus? I know the sheriff's office doesn't use state surplus. We use Copart, and they give us a really good deal. Their percentage is lower. We don't have to do anything.
I think there's other options. Surplus is just what I talked to.
Right.
But this just
allows, this is none of those items.
Yeah, this is not.
This resolution includes items that have no value greater than scrap. And if they've got scrap value, that's it. I mean, really, you're welcome to go look at some of the stuff.
Oh, okay.
I see. It is. Yeah. Okay.
See, can we go out there?
Most of it isn't like in any way what I would call whole. Firstly, it needs a part. He'll find one. I've learned that. He's like a little part gopher. He goes topping around there. Any public comment on the request? Seeing none, council.
Move to approve resolution 617.
I have a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. That brings us to the final new business, which is the relinquishment and termination of waterline easement agreement. Kevin, go to work.
Yeah. So this was a learning curve for
everybody.
Attorney Gavin. I don't know Gavin's last name. I apologize. But Gavin helped me with this. So this is with the McCollum Creek waterline replacement. We relocated that waterline, as you know, not only across the Diggins property in Jefferson County, but also Prickly Pear Development asked to have that waterline that cut across an angle to be rerouted down the right-of-way of 518. Both property owners paid for that surveying and those additional fees, and we have received both of their reimbursements, right, Amy? I know we have. So this is just the abandonment of that water line that runs at a 45 across Prince of Perrin, the Diggin property. That's all we're abandoning. We are keeping our easement that runs underneath 518 just in case we ever need it until MDT says we have to abandon it. I'm not going to abandon it just in case we need it for some reason. And what that line does, the old line actually runs at a 45 across the highway. When we met with MDT, they granted us a new easement that runs across it in a straight line instead of that 45. So that's what MDT prefers. They granted it to us, but we're not releasing the old one there under the highway in case at some point we do want that. That's it. Barring any questions.
Bowler. Yeah, it was last night.
Thank you.
Bowler. Perfect. Any public comment on the request? Agreement request. Seeing none, council.
Motion to approve the relinquishment line.
Motion to approve as presented.
I'll second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. We got through all the business. Brings these to me, and that's not much business. What has Kelly been up to? Well, it's springtime. You can tell by the weather. So that means we do a lot of pool conversations around this place. For such a short time of the year, it takes a while to get up and running every time and wrangling kids. So we've been working on that. We've started initial budget conversations. So if you've got some sort of ideas, thoughts, communications, let's come on in. We'll talk about it. Mondays are great. We can do some spend some time on that. And for that, if you got some ideas, I'd love to hear them. That's ultimately, you guys are the ones that are going to approve of this year budget. I'm going to present you one. It's all yours. So I'd love to save us a bunch of back and forth at the end. If we got something we can do that makes complete sense, let's do it. Initial conversations regarding a cell tower with the company. Maybe they would like to put a cell tower on some of our property. Could be an interesting thing. Obviously, they would pay us for this right feature, whatever. So send me an email, send them back. We got some initial conversations going on. Kevin's kind of taking it over at this point. We've got the people that looking into it, and so that could be something we maybe see coming down the road. And the big one has been water rights. We've spent, I don't know, all of our time, Kevin, on water, like 85-90%. Had a meeting with Lieutenant Governor. It was a reiteration of a position they expressed in the letter that was presented to you guys. We reiterated our position, how that doesn't meet our needs. End of the day, we came to a place where they want to hear some more from us. So we're going to try to get to there. So I think that it was a positive thing. Hopefully we get to a number that works to meet the growth. And we're not there yet. We're working on it. And you guys will be kept in touch right now, but we're not there yet. And that was that meeting. So subsequent to that meeting, of course, there was meetings with Cindy. Cindy's very supportive of us and our need to get water and supportive of that. So it was good to hear from her. And subsequent to that, we met with John Bloomquist, who is expensive. And I think that's money well spent. He's been amazing. I can't imagine me and Kevin sitting in that office trying to work our way through these water rights stuff without his guidance. It has been.
I don't look like water rights attorney.
No, it's just. I can't tell you how valuable he's been to you. It's hard to really understand what you're in the. You know, but he has definitely been an incredible advocate for the city and in his role as our water rights attorney. So I'm happy to work with him, and it's been informative, if nothing else. People talk about water rights, and I used to be like, I mean, water's free. That's not the case. Yeah. So anyway, that's the main thing I've been up to. So still spending time on that endeavor. That's about it though for me. Any questions? City or a voice back. Councilman reports. Donnie Boy.
I got nothing to report.
Councilman Leland.
Nor do I.
Councilman Feist.
To go to the chamber event with McDantum. So if you ever want to know who makes all of the taps for all Guinness around the world, McDantum here in Helena. But they hosted a great event. And always happy to
Did they serve Guinness?
They did. At Brothers Tap Room. I invited you.
I know all. I couldn't came I had this other thing
to
going
help
on.
With y'all. Guinness. But yeah. But that was good, and I just appreciate the chamber's focus and including East Helena and all their events. MBAC visited with them. They have been awarded some funding to do a community review assessment, and they've chosen East Helena to do that assessment. It's for economic development purposes. It'll help with some housing opportunities, and if we wanted to utilize it for other things in the future. And so more to come. I just visited with them yesterday, and they told me about this, so they'll be reaching out to Kelly and want to include city stakeholders in on that. And then I did ask one other thing that came up with that assessment. And then this also, Nancy Anderson from AARP had asked if we wanted to become an age-friendly community. This is a one-pager on what that means. There's more that is involved, but she also wants to come back. She approached us once before, but it was kind of a transition during COVID between previous mayor and our current mayor. And so, she wants to come back. So I just said that I would share the information and then we can decide what we want to do in the future. But that's what this handout is. In addition, United Way reached out, Emily McVeigh, and they have applications due by the end of this week. They do a spirit of service. They don't have any homes in the East Helena area, and they're looking for 5 to 6 of individuals, whether they be low income, elderly, or somebody that really needs some help to do some work on their home. And so this is something that if you can think of anything, there's an application. And I don't know if homes that you've been to that could use some type of help as far as a disability or age related that may be in need. But this is something that they just asked if I would share that information. So this is the application. If you can think of anybody, even just call them. They'll reach out to the family or the home. And otherwise, construction on Clark and Washington, Kevin, they're doing a good job. I just wanted to give them some props because it looks like they've got a giant mess, but they have been really, really good about what they're doing and communicating with us right around that area. So I don't envy their work, but they've been great to work with. So just an FYI on that.
On the spirit of service thing, Wes. Do they handle cat wrangling? Because Chris might have a spot for him. Chris went to a great call the other day that he came back and he's like,
maybe
only cats.
They'll build a cat condo. I don't know.
Yeah, it'd have to be a cat large hotels, was my understanding. It'd be a multi-family dwelling.
I don't know.
We get Colin on that. I think there needs some building implications on this. Yeah, it'd be large. Thanks, Wes.
Yep.
Council Mugger, Member Ferguson.
I don't have anything.
Pete texted me at 4 and said he was in a committee meeting that was running late. He was going to try to make it out, and clearly that ran and kept going. So he, as we were aware, he was going to be hit and miss. I didn't see any big legal hurdles we couldn't overcome today, so it was not a big deal. I told him he might have come home to his family. He unfortunately doesn't have to travel nearly as far as a lot of them, but he's got to go a little bit. So that's it, other than paying the bills.
I move we pay the bills.
I didn't hear that.
I'm second in.
I have a motion to pay the bills in a second. What are you doing? Super bad luck.
April, thanks, Kelly.
You're being foolish. I have a motion in a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
That being said, I'll adjourn this meeting at 7:15. Thanks, man.
We've never had a council meeting on April Fool's Day.
But I'm not that I've been doing, I don't think, you know. Yeah.
What are we doing on that water line underneath the old Valley Bank? I thought we were replacing that one.
When the slip line project happens.
Then we get fixed when we bought this rock room.
Kevin, water line under Valley Bank. What's the plan? It's fixed, all right? It's done?